Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
Welcome back to Hack City. Joe Dillon and Sean Anderson, two former college football players from the University of Rhode Island. Today, we're going to be doing a very unique approach to today's episode. We're so close to the college football playoff, and instead of recounting and going over everything that you've watched a million times over, what happened with Michigan, Ohio State, what happened with Oregon, Oregon State, Florida, Florida State, all of those games, we thought it would be more fun to sit here and project how we think the college football playoff will play out based on the results that happened this past weekend. Sean, the Thanksgiving hangover is over. Back in the swing of things. I had a pretty good day betting. I think it's a good time here to let our listeners know where they could bet during championship weekend if they like to have some similar success.
Yeah, Friday was tremendous for college football wagering. Thank you, Texas. Thank you, Tulane. Thank you, UTSA. A lot of fun, good teams you could bet on and cover. Saturday was a disaster. Sunday, even worse. So We're happy. It's fun to be able to have your little nest egg that you build up early in the college football week. So then you can ruin it all on Saturday and Sunday when I guess they just crank the shit up for no reason. And if you want to do that and feel these feelings that I'm feeling, head to BetOnline. It's your number one destination for all your sports wagering information. It's the holiday season. We got a little bit of college football left. We have basketball tuning up, hockey tuning up, and the NFL playoffs are right around the corner. So get to the site today, BetOnline. And remember to use our promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus and your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Thank you, Sean. That was wonderful as always. Bowl season right around the corner. Time to start getting those bets in before those lines start moving. All right, Sean, as I said in the lead-in, the goal of today's episode, I think it'd be a fun exercise for us to do this, and I want to do this until we have that official college football playoff ranking, to talk about how we think this final ranking is going to be, how we feel everything should shape out, who we think are the top six teams, and more importantly, the four that play in the college football playoff. So I'm going to start off here. We're going to go in descending order, starting with the six teams, going all the way down to one. For me, I have Texas at number six. I really think what they did against Texas Tech was nice. I just don't know if a win over Oklahoma State is really enough of a win to propel them. And with everything else that happens, even if Oregon beats Washington, even if Florida State wins out, or maybe even if they lose, that's probably what they would need to happen. I don't know if that's enough for Texas to find their way in, because that Oklahoma loss, it's fine. It's not great, but it's not good. At the same time, who else have they really beat? They've had a little bit of a cakewalk schedule since they beat Alabama, and that Alabama win might not look as sexy after what happens in the SEC championship.
I'm not going to take any slander of Big 10 being, or Big 12 being cakewalk or cupcake or however
it
you
was,
want to deem it.
It was cakewalk.
It was equally as cakewalk as SEC this year, who were in an incredibly down year because we're lauding Mizzou. Okay, so don't hit me with that. And I know,
Mizzou's got stars
and they got playmakers, but we're not going to sit here and act like in a normal year, Mizzou's in the bottom half, not in the bottom half. So I'm not taking a Big 12 cakewalk slander.
Wait, they beat Kansas State, who's one of the top three teams that was in the Big 12.
Yeah, and Mizzou's probably a top four SEC team this year. If I'm doing
top three,
yeah, it's Mizzou.
Okay,
it's at the team that I'm representing, dog water. LSU was dog. I'm not going to run through the entire conference.
Yeah,
they were very down this year. They were very down this year.
I didn't know you were in that camp. I'm actually surprised. I didn't know that you were in that camp.
We'll get into my camp in a moment. Texas at six. Okay, so you don't have them getting bounced out entirely out to the outskirts of seven. My number six, unless you do have any thoughts.
Well, who's your number six? And we'll kind of go back and forth here.
My number six, Florida State.
Really? So is that in anticipation that they lose to Louisville? Is that what you're going to
beat Louisville? I don't think they beat Louisville, which is unfortunate because Florida State has so much fun talent on both sides of the ball that I would be tremendously excited to watch how they do in a college football playoff. Even if they came in at four and played like Georgia, it would still be fun to see them again on that stage. But no Jordan Travis. I think they lose to Louisville. Louisville is weird and goofy, and we can acknowledge that because they have odd losses and it's Louisville. But I think they beat Florida State. And unfortunately, Florida State, you are cursed with having to play in a championship game where you will get bounced from the CFP, in my opinion, due to having to play an extra game. If it ends today, they're undefeated. They're in top four. I can respect it. I like having the games matter. I like having undefeated teams earn their way from week one to week 14 or whatever the hell. But I'm taking Florida State losing to Louisville.
See, I actually, after the Florida State game, I actually feel a little bit better about their situation, and here's why. I think that to go in a challenging, very hostile environment, the Swamp is one of the hardest places to win in college football, even when they have a down year. And understandably, they had a backup quarterback in. I know that Tate Rodemaker didn't play great, but to be able to throw him into that situation, to knock off the cobwebs a little bit, to get yourself warmed up for Louisville, and Louisville just pooped their pants against Kentucky. That was just disturbing.
That's just a classic poop your pants job. And that's exactly what it is. Rodemaker was better than expected also.
I think that with the way that defense play, like we watched, and I tweeted this out, that Devin Leary interception that he threw has to be one of the worst interceptions I've seen all season long. And somehow Louisville still managed to lose because their defense played like crap. I really don't think that Louisville is going to be able to stop and contain Trey Benson. I don't think that they're going to be able to cover Keon Coleman or Johnny Wilson. I think that Rodemaker is going to feel comfortable coming into this situation. I don't know, man. With them literally trying to take his head off, I think that Louisville looks a much, much more of a comfortable situation, that they're going to feel pretty good about themselves stepping into that matter.
I'm not worried about any of the other talent on Florida State. I'm not. It's just the one guy. And you're getting tough situation. You're getting thrown into the ACC championship game where you're playing a good team, not a great team, but you're playing a good team that wants it. They're going to come after him. I don't think he handles it that well. I just don't. So I think Florida State ends up losing and is stuck on the outside.
All right. Ron's already on some shit here. Hey man, they'd be in the expanded playoff, but we're not here to do this. Number five for me, Sean, it's Washington. I'm sorry, Big Iron. I know that I've been on Washington the entire season, but when you're a team that's this lucky, I think that eventually the luck runs out. We saw this, and
You called them Magic Team. Magic Team makes the top four.
Wait, well, no, but here's what I was just about to say. What happened last year in the Big 12 championship game? TCU lost. Their luck just did you throw that up on the screen?
Yeah, of course.
They just barely lost at the end there. At the very end, they lost to Kansas State. It was a crazy, crazy, crazy ending, and the luck was just a little bit short for them. That was in a year where there were a lot more opportunities. I don't like that you're controlling.
Oh, I got full autonomy, brother. I got full autonomy.
My point is here is that I think that the way that they played against Washington State has some concern for me. And the way that they played against Oregon State was a little bit concerning. I think that Oregon is really peaking right now, and they have looked past and really fixed their mistakes. If they win that game in a year where it's highly contested like this, there are too many options out there for this fourth spot in the playoff in the committee for the committee to put in. With all these options, it's going to be so hard for a one-loss Washington team to get placed in here. There's certainly an argument for it. There's certainly a debate for it. I just think that there's just too many options that a one-loss Texas team is going to be in the debate. A one-loss Florida State team, if they lose, is going to be in the debate. And then on top of that, you can't put Oregon in ahead of them because they just beat them. So I don't know.
Yeah. Look, I think it's a little bit cowardly because magic team going to magic, and they pulled off magic, but they also, and I know that there's only so much sand left in the stupid jar that sand drops down in. There's only so much sand left in that. And I don't know how much magic is left, but we have to reward their ability to coach with balls and to make the correct decisions. The 4th-and-1 call, Joe, I've never seen a coach say, I'm putting the entire season in jeopardy on my own.
That was a great call. By the way, that was a great call.
I jumped up out of the couch and I literally, I'm like, look at this creativity. Look at the dude that's not going to do the push. That's not going to do a screen, a God effing screen. It was a great call. I loved it. I loved everything about it.
I got to be honest. I've never seen anybody, not to cut you off. That is one of the most unique end arounds that you could have possibly called. Cause normally the stupid shit that we see that always gets stopped is that you just run the end around and you see the guy coming. It's like, oh, there he is. Go get him. You know, see ball, chase ball. And then he gets stopped because everyone's pressed up, but you diverted so much attention. I thought that was an amazing call.
I thought it was genius, and he knows how to win games. He's not just, he knows how to win a football game. He knows when he needs it. DeBoer is in touch with the game. And then, unfortunately, the last three plays, it looked as if he didn't know how to win a football game.
Oh, my God.
Because they took three shots to the end zone in double and triple coverage. All three could have been picked if I recall properly. What was that? Kick the field goal. I know the kicker.
More importantly, you had a timeout. Why don't you just run the ball, see if you can pick up some yard? That made no sense.
Was baffling. I don't know if he got trigger happy. I'm not sure of the situation. Washington at 5, though. I don't know you're not going to get a lot of love for that, though.
Well, yeah, because we've both been in on Washington. So, and I'm sorry, Big Iron. Look, me and him have DM'd back and forth when he's been at the games. Look, I love Washington. I am rooting for them to beat Oregon. I'm a little wary, and I think that Oregon gets them the second time around because it's so hard to beat a good team twice. But if that ends up happening, it's just going to be such a hard debate. And the committee doesn't want to put themselves in this position to throw two Pac-12 teams in. I think that they're going to pull some shit and try to keep one of them out.
It's bold of you to say that. I guess I'll give my number 5 now.
Yeah, who you got?
Washington.
Okay, so now we can move on. I was thinking to myself midway through that. Wait, you debated me. All right, okay, why do you think that that happens? Why do you think
because
that
happens? Because I think they lose to Oregon.
You just sat there and argued with me. What
Welcome to the long con, brother.
You're an ass.
So that's all the devil's advocate, basically. I just decided to play it without playing it. I don't think Washington beats Oregon. It was down to the wire in their first matchup. And Oregon just looks so sharp. Knowing Oregon, they're ready to piss their pants a little bit. We'll see what happens. But Oregon's just, they're so sharp right now. Washington squeaking by. I know when these two teams play each other, a lot of that gets thrown out of the window. But there's not going to be two Pac-12 teams in the CFP. There just won't be. Washington just on the outs. Phenomenal offense. Give Penix the Heisman, whatever. But you just can't have two Pac-12 teams in there when there hasn't been a Pac-12 team in the CFP in 7 years. It can't happen.
It sounds like you and I are agreeing with the same logic here. I kind of think that that's not going to happen. So we're not even going to entertain that thought.
irritant. That's an irritant.
Ron, honestly, I respect the energy. I respect that you always come in here just saying shit. And it's good. The comment section remains very active because you're throwing that out there. But it sounds like you and I are on the same page here. It is just too hard for them to justify two one-loss Pac-12 teams. And yeah, I think that the problem is there's probably going to be three undefeated teams. That's kind of what's stemming with all
this. If there is, then they're all in, and I'm cool with it.
Right.
If there is, and I'm completely cool with it. This is how I see it going down, though.
My number four, and we just set up the table for this, I think that Florida State runs the table and goes undefeated. I think that the committee takes into account some skepticism, not only for their quarterback situation, but at the same time, the resume is not super sexy. It's not the most sexy resume. They beat the LSU, ACC. Which is a good yeah. – it's the ACC. Like, what's their second best win? Clemson? Who's Clemson. Ranked? Miami's probably third on there. There's just – it's a really slippery slope as we go down and talk about some of their wins because they don't have a lot of great ones. Some people might bring to the table the Boston College game. Allegedly, they were dealing with the flu, so I'm going to kind of give them the benefit of the doubt there. I think that they run the table, go undefeated, but I think that the committee is going to be more juiced up about a different team and puts them at number three, which our listeners could probably anticipate where I'm going with this. I think that they do the committee bit of getting really in on a team if they win and moving them ahead of the team that I have here at four.
Yeah, Florida State has everything to win by winning this game. So maybe that gets them over the hump. I personally don't think it happens, but I'm acknowledging that there is a strong chance. It's a tough six. This is a tough six to make and hash out because there's a lot of different.
I realize I don't even have Ohio State in this, by the way. I'm now realizing that I don't have
not to bury the lead, but sorry, you can't lose that game. Yeah, it's tough. Florida State being on the outs is tough because they can so easily jump ball. If they win, they're in, which is impressive. My number four, Texas. I think they sneak in. I think they get it. And, they beat Alabama. Sorry, that game mattered. And I don't care how much better Jalen Milroe's gotten since then. They beat them then. And that's what it does matter to me. I have to respect that. And they faced the best Oklahoma's played all year.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you have the same logic if Alabama just gets completely, which I think is going to happen, if they get completely piped down by Georgia? Do you still maintain that same logic?
Yes, I do. Georgia is a different being to me. They're just different. And I'm weighing them different because they're so dominant and I've seen it. Alabama, as impressive of a coaching job that Nick Saban and that staff has done this season to turn it around, get them in the SEC championship when everybody was writing them off, including myself, and I'll admit that, in September, turn it around, make Jalen Milroe look like a certified G at the quarterback position. Like he's a gangster-ass gangster at the quarterback position also. I mean, just the throw.
Gangster-ass gangster at the gangster position.
Yeah, exactly. That's yeah. look, it's impressive, but they didn't beat Texas. So Texas has to be in for me. I mean, Texas could still fold. Trust me, they could still blow it somehow, but I'm weighing that heavily. I'm going to respect that win.
I don't hate it. And I think that there is the argument to be had, but here's the one reason why I don't love it and why
I don't love it either. I don't want Texas fans on my side.
Right. Here's the thing though. You're basically, and a second ago, you just completely spoke on, if I don't think that's a word, you completely poo-pooed the SEC.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Of course. I just made it a word.
Yeah.
You poo-pooed the SEC, but then if we really think about this with Texas, they've earned the fourth spot with their mediocre schedule simply because they beat an SEC team. That's kind of that, that's why I don't like that.
They're one of the three that they needed to beat. It's similar to the Big Ten also. If you beat Penn State, Ohio State, or Michigan, then you're gonna get a little bit of favor, and you're going to get that with me. They beat one of the three, and how are we grading the LSU win for Florida State? LSU stinks. Like that's but we still know LSU is a good program, but they're not at that same level. But I'm not going to take them away from being a top five SEC team. It's just that the bottom 12 is terrible.
The difference between the two, though, is that Florida State's undefeated. And right now, Texas is likely only going to have a singular ranked victory. I guess some of the polls have Kansas and Kansas State ranked, and I just don't know how impressive those wins are. And yes, they get the Oklahoma State win, but then I would argue if Oklahoma State loses this game, they might end up needing to bump back a little bit. I just, that resume is just very murky for me. I think if there's a conference that outside of their, the Big 12 after Texas is pretty crap.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I would like to see Oregon and Washington in it, but that can't happen. It just can't. And I'm not going to reward the SEC by having two of their teams in it with such a piss poor year. They didn't flex on anybody. Georgia did. Alabama squeaks by. I'm not going to reward them for having it. The Pac-12 should be rewarded. They had a great year.
Yeah.
One team in the Big Ten should be rewarded. That one team had a great year.
I actually would go ahead and
even in flux if they had a great year.
I actually will go ahead and say this, Sean. I would rather put in Ohio State without a conference championship than Texas with one, because I still think that Ohio State has a good resume.
I'm not. Oh my God.
Ohio State lost me. They lost me. They had all year.
They've beaten Notre Dame, and they've also beaten they beat Notre Dame. They beat Penn State. Those are highly ranked teams.
Penn State stinks. You and I know that. And they beat Notre Dame. It's basically like beating Tulane. All right.
So
I think Tulane could beat Notre Dame. They looked good. Look, if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. Ohio State did not impress me. Kyle McCord did not impress me. Ryan Day is not a big game coach. He had a great big game last year.
Wait. What about last year?
CJ Stroud. And CJ Stroud is unfortunately providing us with more information, seeing his success in the NFL. That's on right now. Day has been outed because Stroud is so successful. And it looks like a little bit of a, how much was it? Because he put the team on his back. Ryan Day didn't call a great game. He called C.J. Stroud played an excellent game. Called a good game, but that's one big game. You can't beat Michigan. You can't make it. Sorry.
That's actually a very fair point. I think that we do need to give more credit to C.J. Stroud. Instead, we were questioning if C.J. Stroud was just playing in a friendly system, and that's clearly not the case.
C.J. Stroud has actually made me reevaluate a lot of things about how I'm looking at prospects. Just a lot of things, not even traits. He's kind of given me the opposite of Markelle Fultz. When I remember being down on Markelle Fultz because he never won in college. And then I'm like, all right, so what happens in the NBA? He's just going to start automatically winning against the professionals? He's going to start showing up in the big-time games? No, that's not how it works. C.J. Stroud showed up in the big-time game against a basically pro team.
Is that a new hat, or have you worn that?
I've had it. I'm the white one's getting a little dirty, the white Vols hat. I got this one in the same batch.
I've wanted to buy one of the. I really like that design. There's a design that
team story. It wasn't even like an outside. Yeah. I know you got your thing.
47 brand copied that design with like the very official, like the Times New Roman-ish fonting kind of thing going
it's
on.
Just,
there.
I just like it's a classic hat. Classic hats look better than normal hats.
Okay, up to number three here. My number three team is Oregon, and I just kind of set the stage for this. I think that even though Florida State goes undefeated, the committee always does this. There's always like one team that they just get super hyped up on because they had a really nice stretch to the final season. And we're going to talk about this later in our other thoughts segment. There has been some serious glazing going on with this Oregon team just in general. I have never seen a team be more hyped up over doing like the bare minimum. It's like that one kid that we all played football with or played sports with that like, he just kind of showed up and did like enough, and the coaches all loved him. And they just like all you heard from the parents, like, oh, he's going to go on to play college sports. He's going to be so good. And then he just never did anything, and you were never really impressed by him because he was getting glazed for no reason. That's the kind of the vibe I get from Oregon. And I think that naturally that same thing will happen for them as well. My own personal opinion, I think that Oregon, some of that support for them is justified. They're very well-rounded. They run the ball really well. They throw the ball really well. Their defense makes a ton of plays. Their defensive line is very physical. They're Georgia junior. I know that that's really cliche to say. They're built like Georgia. They're just a couple of years away from actually being up to the standard of Georgia. They're like what Georgia was a couple of years before they were on this massive run. That's the vibe that I get from them. But because they're in an easier conference, they're now in this position to be the third team in the college football playoff.
It's fine. That's fine. You have Oregon and yours at three. I still think that they beat Washington and make it. My number three, Michigan.
Oh, you bump them up to two then?
Well, that's not. Well, I guess technically we know who's one. Yeah, I have Oregon at two and Michigan at three.
Okay, let's talk about Oregon before we get to Michigan.
Okay, yeah, Oregon deserve. If and this is just speculation of Big Iron's losing it. His last bastion of hope. It's just let him down again. I know.
I'm still trying to figure out what his profile picture is. Is that SpongeBob with an assault rifle?
I can't look. I think it's a minion. I can't zoom in on it right now.
Oh, that's even better. Either one is great.
This is speculation that Oregon will beat Washington. That's what it is. And if they do, congratulations. You did it. You beat the unbeaten team. You won the Pac-12. You showed me everything you needed to show me. Bo Nix looks like a stud. The defense flies around. The skill position players, they look great. So, yeah, I think Oregon number two. And they fought through a harder, more challenging conference top to bottom. I'm not saying they didn't beat some dogs. I'm not saying that they didn't go out and beat some skills. But they did exactly what they needed to do. And if they beat Washington, I would put them at two in my top four.
Here's
Michigan
the problem,
beat
though.
Two teams, though. They beat two teams.
Here's the problem, though, and why I don't. This is one of the few that I don't think that there actually is an argument for, and the one of the few that I actually like really disagree with, because at the end of the day, Oregon has less ranked wins than Washington does, off the top of my head, because Washington has the benefit of saying that they've beaten Oregon State, they've beaten Arizona, they have beaten Utah, who might end up getting bumped. But they still have more ranked wins than Oregon. Oregon has had the easier schedule. I also don't think, most importantly, I can't justify putting Oregon ahead of Michigan, who is undefeated. And frankly,
I can.
Besides a singular game, the only game, they have one game that they looked bad in, and that was against Maryland. I think that Oregon's been shaky in a couple of games. They were shaky against Washington, and they lost. And then they were very shaky against Texas Tech, who is dog water. Texas Tech is a very, very mediocre Big 12 team, and that early in the season, that needs to be acknowledged. Michigan's blown through everybody that they've played, and I know that the score is very close against Ohio State and Penn State, but if you watch that football game, we know that they out-physicaled both of those programs that are built with really good offensive and defensive lines. They showed up, put their nuts on the table, and they punched their opponents in the mouth every single game. I got to acknowledge that team, even though J.J. McCarthy...
It's a very tough team. I'll acknowledge it's a very tough team and probably the second toughest in the nation. I'll acknowledge that. But Oregon has taken care of the Pac-12, with the exception of a couple dumbass plays in that Washington game. They smoked Washington State by 14. They ran over Oregon State. They beat Oregon State by 24 points. Come on.
Oh, okay. Well, one could argue, is it not a distracted Oregon State team?
Oh, God, who cares? They want to kill Oregon. Oregon's leaving. They're deserting. They want to crush them into little fine dust.
Yeah, but your head coach is also doing the same shit that Oregon's doing. He's dipping for the Big Ten.
Well,
I don't know, man. I feel like the coach situation thing is always a tough
Joe,
out.
Utah. They beat October Utah when they were still really in the mix. They gave up 6 points to them, put 35 on that defense. They don't show fear. Oregon doesn't show fear. I love that about them. Michigan doesn't either. Michigan's very tough. But the Big Ten sucks. The Big Ten West is a joke. And also, I'm going to weigh in the championship game on this one because I can. They have to beat Iowa. Oregon has to beat Washington. I'm weighing that big time. That's another cupcake game for Michigan. Oregon's got to go to war again.
They're still undefeated, though. And we have to appreciate and recognize undefeated
them. With
teams,
them, I do not care.
They forever will be a team that, albeit their schedule is a little bit light, but the eye test is the eye test.
I respect the eye test, dude. Corum's great. The offensive line was great. When Zach Zinter went down, the right guard came in, and I was watching the whole time. That's who I keyed in on. They actually moved the right tackle at the right guard position. They didn't miss a beat. I love that.
They should have done that.
He should have been playing right guard the whole time.
That guy is not a tackle. I think he was previously a guard where he transferred.
He looked great. He looked 52. Looked great in there. He was in his phone booth. He could reach fine. He wasn't getting pushed back. He just can't get to the edge. It's tough. He's getting beat around the edge too much.
That has to be one of the worst coaching decisions. Not putting that kid at guard. And I think that he transferred in with the, with that.
I should know his name because he's one of the 8 Michigan linemen expected to go to the NFL on the roster currently. Who said that? Somebody said that to me. I was losing my mind, but it looked good. At least their 6th guy filled in well.
I think that 6th guy looked great.
We're great at right tackle.
We've talked about Michigan and Oregon to a pretty good extent. Actually, wait, I want to really quickly. Is it Carson Barnhart?
52?
Yeah, that's who you're talking about, right?
You're Carson Barnyard.
And I'm thinking of somebody else.
Who are you thinking of?
I don't know who I'm thinking of. The guy who struggled against Penn State. He's from Paw, Michigan,
right,
by the way.
He was the right tackle.
I'm going to figure this out after. I'm not going to sit here.
Why am I not getting believed? I remember tweeting out 52 is going to have a long day. Blasted him.
The number one team, though, there's no debate. And I think that it's pretty clear that this team, even though that like yesterday wasn't great, we have to acknowledge here. Blake didn't want to give me acknowledgement of this, and he and him started arguing over this.
Alabama.
They treated the Georgia Tech game like it was the week 18 in the NFL. They've kept things really simple, and they just kind of played their game and did whatever they did to just get out of there with the win. They didn't really care what the final outcome was, as long as they didn't lose that football game. They were pretty heavily in control.
Yeah.
They're going to boat race Alabama, and we're just going to be reminded yet again that this is the best team in the country.
They're going to dog them. They are going to make Alabama look bad and look silly. What happens in the game? I don't know. Milroe runs for a touchdown, throws for one, picked off twice. Alabama can't get the ground game going. And the Alabama doesn't have the outside stars that they normally do that can victimize good defenses. You put Marvin Harrison Jr. on Alabama, it's a different story. You put Luther Byrd on Alabama, it's a different story. But they don't have a true weapon on that offense outside of Milroe when he starts running or throws it from 45 yards out into a corner of the end zone, which is phenomenal. And I will continue to give him credit for that because there wasn't a particle of air left in the room when all of us were watching that game. It was phenomenal. Spectacular theater. It doesn't matter. There's going to be plenty of air in the room when they're playing Georgia. No one's going to be taken aback. It's going to be a boat race. Georgia is going to dot them up.
I mean, we got to remember what happened last year during the SEC championship game and the national championship. They're one of those teams that spark any doubt in them. They show up for the most important games of the season, and they show up pissed off and angry. If LSU last year, which was far more balanced and offensively potent than this Alabama team, if they got boat raced the way that they did, we got to acknowledge that Georgia is about to put a ass whooping on Alabama.
They just got away with one against Auburn. And we have to note, not Nick Saban-like, but the sloppiest execution in the last 5 minutes. Not a Saban coach team. That's not Saban coach teams look like Michigan trying to close the game out. I'll give credit for that. That's Michigan's strongest aspect. If they have a lead, they're going to close it out on your ass. Getting there is a little tough. Their quarterback's a little tough, but Alabama looks so sloppy down the stretch. Penalties, dumb plays, bad decisions. Why didn't a ref get punched and they didn't stop the game? It was just a mess. It was an entire mess made up for by a miracle play. They almost lost to Auburn. They should have lost to Auburn. They did lose to Auburn. And then somehow The football ended up in an Alabama receiver's hands while he was single covered in the end zone 50 yards away. It's a miracle. It's a miracle, but they lost to Auburn. They're not on my list. They're going to get dicked down by.
They move to like 10 for me. After
oh, this yeah. They're or, like,
yeah, I think they're like
8.
Probably right in front of Mizzou. Yeah, probably to AI because I put Ohio State at 7, and then yeah, you got just
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Other thoughts from the weekend. The first one, we got to talk about Bo Nix and the glazing that happened. Brock Huard, I believe, is the color commentator for Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, man. Holy shit. It was every other play that he made. He could throw a check down pass to the sideline. Look at the ball placement. This is a mix between Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. What the fuck, man? What the actual F? What? I really question. I'm not going to go in on Brock Huard. I don't want to do that. I don't like going in on other analysts, but that was insane to make those comparisons and to make some of those statements about Bo Nix. Bo Nix has been good, and he has made some really nice, important plays for the success of Oregon this year. And he's a reason why they're still in the conversation, because offensively, he does make some really nice throws. His ball placement's phenomenal. He can place the ball in some really difficult spots, which is why they are so consistently good. But Jesus Christ, man. He's not as good as you're making him out to be. You're painting him as if he's the greatest quarterback in college football history. The guy started 60 games or whatever it was. Of course he's going to be more accurate and consistent when he was a five-star recruit. Of course it would take him this long. He's in his third year in the NFL in terms of the amount of time that he's played. Of course it's all freaking clicking for him. And he's playing against 19-year-olds. Back it down, Brock. It's unbelievable.
Here's okay. Let me provide a little bit of clarity. Really, the only defense I have for this. You know how I say you just be saying shit?
Yeah.
Because you do. Okay. Color commentators and analysts, they just be saying something because they need to. That's their job. So if it's a dud game, they just be saying something.
No.
All right.
That's different than just saying shit.
They need to say something because there's no play-by-play needed. You know, when they're just lining up or in between plays. So the analyst has to just come in and say something.
That's not something.
No, that's something.
That's taking it over the top.
Okay, it maybe is taking it over the top. But at this point, I have to assume, just in general, right? I've made a play-by-play bracket before or a card or whatever it is. And, you know, you script it out. And then what they have, what I have to assume, aside from a producer in their ear, who has filled them in on the top storylines, I'm almost certain it's written down on their game cards. If you need to talk about something in this game, number one, Bo Nix. Number two, Oregon's matchup against Washington next week. Number three, fill in with some other Heisman chances.
That's in there also.
Oh, my God. He's got to say something, Joe.
Talk about why he deserves to win the Heisman. Comparing him to a mix between one of the most physically gifted quarterbacks in the NFL and one of the most, instinctive quarterbacks in the NFL, that's unnatural. He's not either on their level in either of those trait fields. Is he accurate and does he get the ball out quick? Yes.
What's he accurate?
shut the hell up. Does he have the potential to be a top 15 quarterback in the NFL? Is he a better prospect than Kenny Pickett was? Absolutely, to all of those things. But to compare him to, he basically formed the greatest quarterback to play college football and then enter the NFL with that comparison that statement was made. That's insane.
They're trying to get people up for the Heisman. They're trying to get people going for the CFP. You're not going to talk about the second string defensive tackle that just came in off a rotation from Des Moines. All right. Where'd he go to high school? We don't care at this point in the season. We care in week two. Oh, what? He went to Brickfield? Oh, okay. I knew. Didn't you know somebody from Brickfield? No. Okay. We don't care about that right now. We care about Heisman. We care about the big quarterbacks with the big arm and that are making the plays. So I'm with you. The glazing in the NFL has gotten above and beyond. I almost at times can't listen. I just completely tune out, but college, I got to give them a little bit of leeway there.
A little bit more of a fun one. So I tweeted this out, very stupid comment that I had on it, but Jeff Lebby had one of the best end game celebrations possible. So they beat UTEP. UTEP goes on to fire their coach, which is just even funnier to the whole situation. Jamie Chadwell hires for his Liberty football team, going undefeated, pays for a mariachi band to show up to the locker room and to perform for his team. I think that's awesome. I need more stupid shit like this to happen. I love the creativity to say, we're in Texas, El Paso. Can somebody call and find the nearest mariachi band for hire that's willing to show up in a locker room and play? My mouth might have been agape if I was in that locker room, and I would have been completely dumbfounded by that decision. But that's hype. That gets me hyped up.
I'd have the best time of my life. And you know what? These dumb coaches with all their big bloated salaries and buyouts, you should be buying mariachi bands for your players after they win. They work hard for the win. Get the mariachi going. I mean, do you know how much better the post-game shower would have been after a win if there was mariachi playing? If there was any, it would help any instance of post-game. It would get everybody fired up about the night. It just immediate better mood. It's a great, great plan. I remember I had a kid I trained with in high school. He ended up going to Rutgers, and like his first year there, the program hired like Migos for a private concert. I don't know if it was in like the coach's backyard or it was somewhere. And I'm like, this is
great. Chris Ash pulled that off at Rutgers.
I don't know. It was in like 2016 or 2017. I remember seeing.
Honestly,
that.
Like, I wouldn't be interested in that. I'd be more interested in the mariachi band.
I think I have equal interest for both, or I would have had equal interest, you know, RIP take, but it's definitely coaches doing cool things. It seems rare because they're so often jackasses that you're like, oh, there's a guy that, you know, is doing something nice. He's throwing the pizza party. He's not just saying see you after the holidays. Everyone remembers the pizza party lady, the pizza party teacher, Miss Mitchell, fourth grade pizza party, liked it. She's very nice. Everyone remembers him.
Comparing this to a pizza party? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying everyone remembers the coach or whoever that's going to go a little bit above and beyond to celebrate a good thing. So I like that. We don't have to come into school for 2 weeks. I'll remember that I get some pizza party and some Coca-Cola, and I get to go, you know, running around. It's a good day. Good day. Good for the mariachi man, too.
I just think it's a true football guy move because, I mean, at the end of the day, sure, there are so many different backgrounds and personalities in football locker rooms, but we're all just big idiots wearing pads, man. Yeah. We all think stuff like that's funny. Chadwell's like, this would be hilarious, and my team is going to think that this is funny and appreciate it. If Coach Flem did that, I would lose my mind.
If Coach Donnie Flem brought a mariachi band.
Oh, my God.
Well, even then, like, even the little things. There was when we got to play dodgeball at the end of winter training, it was the best. Yeah. It's the best. The little things make the big difference. And then you get some favorable nods afterwards. If we didn't play dodgeball and Donnie didn't find those soccer balls or whatever that he had, and we actually had to train and we didn't get to play dodgeball that season, I was going to be royally pissed. I might have called a meeting. I might have had a players only meeting saying we need to get this going. Because you know me, Mr. Rocket Arm, I never get to throw a ball on the field, but I get
And of course,
Murph is just a better athlete than me. I gotta admit it.
Team rallied around you also as well. That's the
the team rallied around me in dodgeball. That's for sure.
It's a fair.
I was like a first round pick.
Actually, I don't even know where I was going with that transition. You sent me something that I completely missed on Thursday, and appreciate you bringing this to my attention. So former Ole Miss quarterback Bo Wallace got into a fight with Strange Brew Coffee House. Strange Brew Coffee House tweeted, "Make sure you don't fall and burst your face there again, sunshine." Quote tweeting Bo Wallace. Bo Wallace says Section 23 in response to that. He also said, "You're at a football game tweeting a coffee house is what the coffee house said. I'm getting to you." Bo Wallace says, "Yeah, I'm at a game in Section 23, seat 28 proves my point. People talk on Twitter, but won't roll up. You didn't mention the row is what the coffee house said. If I hop on the brew jet and fly over, I'll at least need the row." Row 40 is the response that Bo Wallace has. I mean, if you're going to be a rinky-dink little coffee house and you're going to talk shit like that, you got to back it up. You can't say some corny-ass thing. I'm going to hop on my jet and fly on over there. You got to tell me the row. No, man, Bo Wallace was going to throw hands with whatever dorky little social media intern rolled up and thought that he was being funny.
Social media teams, the evolution of them has been very interesting because they all hire people off of Twitter. And
that's brutal.
Look, maybe, it is what it is there. The Egg Bowl's odd. The people have a lot of emotion attached to the Egg Bowl. And the last thing they want to hear about it when you're involved in Egg Bowl shenanigans is from a company Twitter account. That's a lot. If it's a person, if it's just somebody talking shit, Dogs fan 94 talking trash to you.
Yeah.
Remember what we did? That's different. That's a dude talking trash. But corporate involvement has a little bit, or company involvement has a little more embarrassment to it. Cause like, what meeting did you take to place this tweet? Who gave you clear? So this has gone through the channels.
There was no chain of command. This is, I don't even know what this coffee house is. I'm sure it's not big enough for it to, this is just some dopey dipshit that thought he was being funny and then he was going to quote tweet him and didn't think that Bo Wallace was going to provide where his seat is. That's what I think. This I don't think he targeted. Checked with anyone. I think he just said, "Oh, this could be funny."
I think I'll provide some clarity afterwards. He checked with somebody. There is many meetings about many posts and many engagements and all of this. And I know you've been in meetings similar. They wanted the run. They wanted the response and they got it. And as somebody, as just a citizen talking to the coffee shop Twitter account, talking to the Amazon Twitter account, "Hey Amazon, your broadcasts have been dark all year. Your cameras aren't good enough. They're not well lit. Don't respond to me. Fix it." There's no setting I could turn on my TV to increase the brightness or the contrast. Fix your cameras. I've been going through this. I'm on Bo Wallace's side. Amazon, I'll give you my address.
Now I know why you.
I'm going to order two pairs of boxing gloves tonight. And they're going to get delivered. I'm going to put them on and I'm going to hand the other set to the driver and we're going to have it out in my back, in the back
fight the driver. The driver is,
unfortunately, here are the gloves, man.
You can't take it out on some poor guy that's got nothing to do with what's happening. What are you doing?
Where am I going to go?
You got to go up the chain of command.
I'm trying to say guerrilla warfare. Yeah. I'm getting down nitty gritty bluegrass. I'm tired of
like a warehouse manager or something. That's the direction that you got to go.
I actually do know him, but warehouse manager.
I knew somebody that was also a warehouse manager too. He no longer works.
I'm going to order two sets of boxing gloves, two mouthpieces, and two sets of headgear, and that's what it's going to be. An unfilmed parking lot fight.
You're going to wait at the door, and then the Amazon guy is going to be there, and he's like, "Oh, how's it going?" And you're going to be like, "Hand me the box." You're going to open the box while he's still standing there and you're going to throw the gloves at him. That's that poor guy, man. That guy's been holding in his piss for 5 hours and you're just going to beat the shit out of him.
Starting to think about it. I know a couple of FedEx drivers that would beat the hell out of me. It just my personal life. Look,
Yeah, I think you're overestimating. You're fighting the wrong people. You got to fight the corporate dorks.
Well, maybe I get into it. Maybe this gets enough run where I could get to the corporate dorks and they could fix their broadcast. Why is it so dark, Joe? It's not that hard.
Sunday I think you just have a bad TV. If you get a bad
No, because they're not as dark
TV from the early 2000s.
It's always Thursdays where it's like pitch black on the TV.
Get a new TV.
At Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio.
Sanderson Radio. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on wherever you tune in on podcasts or on the video. We'll be back later this week talking FCS, FBS, all that stuff, you name it. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, folks.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.